The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pelletier. Down Tuesday, stocks halted a seven-day advance as data showing a rebound in consumer spending offset a wider sell-off in commodities. Oil was down 0.6% to $49.99. Gold down 0.5%, down $6.40 the ounce to $12.61. The 10-year up 11 32nds, the yield 2.21%. S&P down 2 points to 2412, down 0.1%. NASDAQ down 7, also a drop of 0.1%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 51 points, down 0.2%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. Emma Parmar joins us right now. She is the author of the weekly Bloomberg Hedge Fund Brief. But look what's going on in the world of hedge funds today. And you're one of the bigger hedge funds there on your front page. Emma, what's the story with Cambridge Associates?
So Cambridge Associates, they are an external CIO to 86 hedge funds. They manage $20 billion on the behalf of their clients. And so they are more bullish on the event-driven hedge fund space. They are expecting to see more corporate activity this year amid rising interest rates and more uncertainty.
What do you mean more corporate activity?
So that could mean more restructurings, mergers, spin-outs, any kind of event sort of driven bets that you could make on based on a catalyst such as those. And so they figure that as rates rise, you know, some companies won't have access to financing and won't find it as easy. Some issues over regulations and trade discussions that could hurt or help certain companies. And so there's more opportunity for event-driven hedge funds to take advantage of that and hopefully make money based on that. And so the way they're expressing that sort of view is they're boosting their clients' portfolio exposure to event-driven hedge funds by about 3%.
And so essentially, they're almost like a fund to fund within their world. They're sort of moving money from one strategy to the next.
Well, they manage money for the different clients, but each client has their own sort of separately managed account. So there isn't sort of one commingled vehicle or one like fund of funds type of structure under Cambridge, but they do manage money for different different pensions and endowments, foundations, and whatnot on a sort of individual client basis.
And we're talking about a big chunk of money here, right?
I'm sorry?
Look about a lot of money that Cambridge is in charge of.
Absolutely. When you look at what they do in the external CIO side, it's $20 billion. But when you look at their assets under advisement, $162 billion in assets. So a lot of money and a lot of influence. So certainly when you look at even just 2 or 3%, if it's a big client, that could mean, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It really depends on the client. It could be, if it's a smaller client, it could mean just a few, you know, tens of millions, but either way, it's an interesting viewpoint and trend.
It's such an interesting structure for this fund as well. How have event-driven money managers done of late?
Mm-hmm. So event-driven funds have gained nearly 5% so far this year. And to put that in context, the average hedge fund is up about 2% this year. So that's in the first 4 months of the year. We have data through April. Last year, though, event-driven funds were one of the top performers, up nearly 11%. So they have been doing well. And if you have a bullish viewpoint, this is, in their view, you know, the time to get in on that.
So the returns through, those are returns through what? Through, so from 12/31 to
the end of April. For event-driven funds, up about 5, according to hedge fund research. So sort of, you know, they're event-driven aggregate sort of index.
If I look at the S&P 500 in that same time frame, if I do it really quick, you're using the HCP function on the Bloomberg, I can see that those are up 7% or 6.5%. So really underperforming the S&P 500 there.
Underperforming the S&P over better than the average hedge fund, but the average hedge fund has not been doing too well. So that might not, you know, you have to put it all into a bit of context.
And they're not trying to be purely in stocks anyway. So maybe
you can bet around this in a bunch of different ways.
So that's sort of your average performance of both event-driven funds and other funds. But surely some money managers have been doing well this year.
Mm-hmm. So we looked at Autonomy Capital. They won about $4 billion. They're a macro hedge fund. They're up about 9.5% so far this year. That's through May 26th.
And what did they get right?
So they were it looks like they got a little bit wrong in the first 3 months of the first 3 weeks of the month of May. They had a bit of a dip down about 2%. That was amid a lot of the political turmoil that we've seen in Brazil that spurred sort of a washout in assets. And then in the fourth week of May, it looks like they've turned that around, up about 30 basis points, but for the year through May 26th, up 9.5%. So this is a fund, you know, that last year was up 25% because of its bets on emerging markets. And at that time, it had profited by its wagers on Brazilian interest rates and sovereign credit. Some funds have gotten hit by what's been going on in Brazil. For example, Discovery Capital, they're down 6% in the first 3 weeks of May, part of that impacted from what was going on in Brazil. So the fact that Autonomy was able to turn it around and still, you know, in a week, go from negative about 2 to even just up 30 basis points is better.
Yeah, well, I guess it shows you how big a bet they had there as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know sort of the specifics of their positioning. Hedge funds are traditionally quite secretive, but from what we understand, it looks like they might have gotten a bit of a hit from that earlier in the month.
Now, it might not be the most important story in the world of hedge funds, but it certainly is one the SEC has got to be looking at right now. Steve Cohen, apparently, with some big plans, we got a big story out suggesting that he's coming back with a vengeance despite the SEC's efforts to slap him down.
So he's targeting to raise close to $10 billion in outside capital next year, planning to combine that with about 11 of his family money to bring to, you know, for his fund launch, about $20 billion. And that would be the biggest hedge fund launch ever. It would be the most money, more money than he's managed at his peak. This would be for Stamford Harbor Capital, which he started last year and which is run by his longtime deputy, Perry Boyle. So what's interesting in this case is that his family office, Point 72, has made no money this year and has barely posted a gain. Made no money last year and barely posted a gain this year. So it's the second worst performance for him. He was used to making 30% returns annually at SAC.
Right, and even though it's not going to be called SAC Capital anymore, Point 72.
Exactly.
Really fascinating that they're going after such a big number here after all that, and after pleading guilty to securities fraud. The SEC Capital Advisors did, that is, not Steve Cohen himself. Great stuff. Hema Parmar, always glad to have you. Hema Parmar's Bloomberg Hedge Fund Brief. It's a must-read every week. Got to get in there. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. I'm Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.